Genesis 31. Amen. We remember before Genesis 31, Jacob had been with Laban. Served Laban faithfully, like the Igbo people do. You go to the village and bring somebody to serve you under an agreement. How many years did you serve? 7 complete years, another Jacob. Amen. Jacob served a master that was a 419 like him. To be able to get a wife, he was to settle him with a wife. For serving him, he was to settle him with a wife. And he served, as the tradition is, for 7 years. And Laban 419 him and gave him the wrong woman. Amen. What's the name of the woman? Gave him Leah. Gave him Leah. But his heart was on Rachel. He said, if you want Rachel, then serve another 7 years. The man was ready to serve. And served for another 7 years. Making how many years? 14 years. And the man was still not ready to release him. But this time, amen. Tell your neighbor, no condition is permanent. Tell him, tell 4 people around you. Say it confidently, confidently. Hallelujah. No condition is permanent. Interesting thing there. Amen. Amen. There are so many of you here. The reason why those of you who served some masters, the reason why they don't like to release you is that they know you are a star. They know that they have discovered that as long as you are with them, they prosper. If you leave, they will have problem. There are people that are just ordained. They are children of prosperity. Anywhere they go, everything around there will prosper. How many of them are here? Oh, thank you very much. Amen. Occultic people will see it. And go in the spirit to keep you perpetually serving under them. Amen. And some are so wicked. After serving them, their grief period. When the time reach, they don't want to release you or they don't want to settle you. They will create one problem or the other. But God was with Jacob. Hallelujah. And God is always with the innocent. Praise the Lord. Praise our God. That was the condition. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And verse 10. And it came to pass at the time that the cattle conceived that I lifted up my eyes and saw in a dream. And behold, the rams which lived upon the cattle were ring-straight, speckled, and crisp. And the angel of God spake unto me in a dream, saying, Jacob. And I say, here am I. And he said, lift up now thine eyes and see all the rams which leap upon the cattle are ring-straight, speckled, and grizzled, for I have seen all that Laban doeth unto thee. I am the God of Bethel, where thou anointest the pillar, and where thou vowest a vow unto me. Now arise, get thee out from this land, and return unto the land of thy kindred. And I want you to note from that verse that anytime you make a vow when you are in problem, God takes note of it. Some of us are fast to make vows when we are in problem. Ah, Father, if you do this, if you deliver me. Ah, Father, if you deliver me. Ah, this is what I will do. If I get this job, this is what I will do. If I get this contract, this is what I will do. Ah, if you deliver me. Amen. Jacob, when Esau was pursuing him, it was at a spot called Bethel. Now he made a vow and told God, this area I am going, you know, I don't know what will befall me when I get there, but if I go there and you bless me, and I come back, I will raise a pillar there and make a sacrifice unto you. Now God is reminding him. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. It's God himself that says you should return to the land of thy kindred. And Rachel and Leah, by force, Jacob married two wives, answered and said unto him, is there yet any portion or inheritance for us in our father's house? They were ready to go. Are we not counted of him strangers? For he has sold us and has quite devoured also our money. For all the riches which God has taken from our father, that is our father's and our children's. Now then, whatsoever God has said unto thee, do. So the wives, we are ready to cooperate with him. Then Jacob rose up and set his sons and his wives upon camels. And he carted away all his cattle and all his goods which he had gotten. The cattle of his getting, which he had gotten in Paddan Aram, for to go to Isaac his father in the land of Canaan. And Laban went to share his sheep, and Rachel had stolen the images that were her father's. Note that verse 19. Rachel, as they were sneaking to go for their freedom, for their deliverance from bondage, she stole the images, those idols that her father used to worship. Verse 20. And Jacob stole away, that is, sneaked away on her ways to Laban the Syrian, in that he told him not that he fled. So he fled with all that he had. And he rose up and passed over the river and set his face towards the Mount Gilead. And it was told Laban on the third day that Jacob was fled. And he took his brethren with him and pursued after him 7 days' journey. And they overtook him in the Mount Gilead. And God came to Laban the Syrian in a dream by night and said unto him, take heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Hallelujah. Then Laban overtook Jacob. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Let me finish that story. Verse 26. And Laban said to Jacob, what hast thou done that thou hast stolen away on awares to me and carried away my daughters as captives taken with a sword? Wherefore did thou flee away secretly and steal away from me and did not tell me, that I might have sent thee away with myrrh and with songs, with tabret and with harp? That is, they will have done a send-off party. Now lie, if you no do. Verse 28. And has not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters, thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. It is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou speak not to Jacob either good or bad. Somebody here, God will go and speak to your enemies. to leave you alone. Do you believe it? Hallelujah. Praise God. A woman was looking for fruit of the womb for so many years, 10 years. Before she located this church, God opened her womb. In Lagos here, the mother, when she was about 3 months pregnant, just 3 months pregnant, the mother-in-law, called her husband, her son, from the village, and say, your wife is pregnant. And the man was saying, Mama, how you take no? He said, I know. And said, well, we were told that we should not touch that baby. Hallelujah. He said, so nothing will happen to that child. We were told not to touch that child. So it means the others, now you didn't touch them before. Hallelujah. Somebody here, God will warn your enemies for your sake. Verse 30. And that is the emphasis here. And now, though thou will have needs be gone, because you saw longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? I repeat, everybody who knows how to read, 1, 2, 3, go, verse 30, shall we go? And now, though thou wouldest need be gone, because thou saw longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore hast thou stolen my gods? Why did he pursue after Jacob? Why? Because Jacob left with his property. When you come to this church, we tell you the truth. Amen. We tell you the truth. How many people love truth here? Of course, if you don't like truth, you won't come to this church. Amen. I believe with the whole of my heart, there's only people who love truth that will come to this church. It's true. Somebody from Kwara State, a pastor who watched us on television, when I went there to minister sometime last year, so he knew I was in that town, he came. He was telling me how he watched, how he saw us on our satellite broadcast. And he said, one day he sat down and he was listening. He said, see, this man is speaking this thing raw. And yet the people are going to that church. He said, they refuse to speak it raw because they are afraid that people will not come. But this man is saying it raw. And yet people are still coming. He said, God will use this man and judge us. So he said he began to cry. He was telling me this personally and asked God to forgive him. I told him, I said, you think people don't like truth? There are people that like truth. And what I discover is that the true children of God, they like truth. They like people who will tell them the truth. The problem is, the people that will speak the truth, they are very few. Amen. Because last year I went to a seminar, and they were all denominational people. And I was a speaker there. And they were prepared to ask me, if after I preached, from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., they broke into groups to dissect what I said. And they chose the leaders to fire me with questions. And I was ready for them. Hallelujah. Now, the interesting aspect was, when it came to women wearing earrings, they asked the question, before I finish explaining, brethren, I am telling you that is the truth, including the wife of the pastor of that church. And she was the one I saw when she was removing her own. And I said, oh, sister, you caught it. She said, yes, 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 yes. And she removed it. It was later I discovered that every sister that sat down there that day, they removed their earrings, including the wives of the Jews that were there. So then I looked, I said, you see, nobody bothers to tell them the truth. You think if you tell women, don't wear a ring, people will not come to your church. Let them not come now. If you don't come to church, you must go somewhere. Somebody must go somewhere. Because there are pastors sitting down here, now that's why I'm talking like this. Don't compromise the word because you want crowd. The word of God is a discerner, is a two-edged sword. See, the truth is, church is not for everybody. And we must be able to uphold the truth in such a way that it's not everybody that can come to church. So that when we gather, we'll be like-minded people. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Tell the people the truth. When you start the church, you want so many people crowd to come, until you sacrifice that and begin to tell them what the people want to hear. Not what God wants you to tell the people. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When this church started somewhere in Mafoluku, then a neighbor was telling me 2 years after. He said he used to stay by his window and hear us preaching. He said, this church, nobody go come this man church. He said, this church, nobody, you go shout, nobody, because he could not imagine that church, we started four people started this church in 1998. And from that time till today, we have not, in fact, we have made it harder, because when we see people coming, we say, from where these people they come? Want to confirm whether you want truth or not, something bring you will be very hard so that some people will go. But the harder we say it, the more they will come. That means there are people that love the truth. Hallelujah. There are people that want to sincerely serve God. But, amen. You know, there is a prophecy in Amos chapter 8. Let's see it. I think it's Amos. Hallelujah. We are coming back to Genesis. So. Verse 11. Amos chapter 8 verse 11. Listen. This is the time that prophecy is fulfilled. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but which famine? Of hearing the words of the Lord. That is, the word of God will be scarce in the land. And they will wander from sea to sea, from Bible school to Bible school. From the north, even to the east, they shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord and shall not find it, despite all the seminars that are going on everywhere. The true word of God, he said, they will not find it. He said, in that day shall the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. Test for the unadulterated word of God. And this is the time that prophecy is fulfilled. So when you come here, this is one of the few places that you can hear the truth. And please, don't mind the way I say it. I may not be cultured or civilized or to know how to use the kind of language that will not offend you. Remember, if I'm addressing any spirit and you are possessed of that spirit, it is not you I'm talking to, it's that demon that I'm talking to. Why do you want me to talk like a gentleman to a demon that is trying to lead you to hell? You are not the person I'm confronting. For instance, sister, when they paint her face, paint your leg, paint, you know, paint your face, paint even your hair, color here, color there, color there. You see, when I'm speaking against it, you see, you are possessed by a masquerade spirit. So it's not you I'm talking to. It's the spirit that is making you act like a masquerade that I'm talking to. If you are painting your face, you are masquerade. Masquerade. So it's not you I'm talking to. And I'm a deliverance minister. I'm authorized to bind and to loose. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you see a man that is, you know, sleeping with women up and down, and I'm addressing fornication, you know, it's not you I'm talking to. It's the spirit that is pushing you act like that. Hallelujah. It's the spirit. It's the spirit. Amen. A man that will go and sit down, you are carrying Bible, going to church. You want to go to heaven. But there is another spirit that is dragging you to be a palo. Dragging you to all these places, you know. It's not you, it's a spirit. The day that spirit leaves you, you become a normal human being. A normal human being will not go and get drunk and misbehave up and down. A normal human being will not smoke cigarette. Because the spirit that is making you smoke cigarette is a cause of untimely death. It's a family there that is following you. Like a man that is chasing people's wives. You see? The cause that is following you is untimely there, because the day her husband will find you, he will cut off your neck. It's untimely death. Disturbing you, you don't know. And sometimes, the woman, the husband put magu there. Who knows magu? Touch and die. Touch and die. Okay, don't climb. That's the meaning. Don't climb. Put down the woman. Don't climb. And you don't know. Untimely death, they follow you. That curse will be broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I am stressing this, that when I speak, I am not speaking to you. I'm speaking to the demon that is making you act like that. Hallelujah. A ring is a symbol of a slave that refused freedom. According to Exodus chapter 21 in Israel, any woman they see with a ring, everybody will know that that is a slave that refused freedom. Forever you receive, you remain a slave. It has become fashion. Now it is fashion. But spiritual people know what that means. Amen. You know, God will raise up standard against all of you sitting down here listening to us every service. Because earlier in the day, a young man called me from Iceland. He received this entire message through our broadcast on the net. He said he was listening, he came across it, he got addicted. Every service, even now, they are on the net now watching us. And he said, he gave his life to Christ. Every little thing, he calls me to counsel him. And he told me, he said, that he used to love to wear chain. But that the day he saw me preaching and I mentioned something like that, he said, that he removed that chain and asked God to forgive him. But you know, there are some men, even men of God, that preach with neck chain. And people don't know the meaning of neck chain on a human being. It is a dog that you put the chain on the neck. It's a spirit. They don't know it. It's a dog. It's a dog. Why will a human being want to put a chain, a man, a chain, chain? Now he is married to a white lady. He was telling me, he said, he has led that girl to Christ. He said he was able to convince that girl, Oyibo, she doesn't wear earrings anymore. But there are people here, check their handbag, earring, they inside. As soon as we close the rich man road, they go knock the thing. They go. God will use that Oyibo and judge you. It's true. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, all this emphasis is, I say, here, when you come here, we tell you the truth, because that is what we owe you here. And we also know that, like the Lord Jesus Christ said, the only thing that sets you free is the knowledge of the truth. For ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Listen, Jacob, by God himself, it was God himself that told Jacob, get out. Now it is your freedom. And if God has set you free, the Bible says, if the Son of Man sets you free, what happened? You are free. But God told Jacob, look, leave. You are free from Laban. Pack and go. But Laban pursued him. And that is the condition that so many Christians are facing. Even some of you sitting down here now. Your deliverance has been confirmed. But why are those demons chasing you? It's the same reason that made Laban to chase Jacob. Something that belonged to the devil is still in your possession. And as long as that thing that belongs to the devil, to the enemy, is in your possession, even if it is God himself that comes to do that deliverance, that demon will wait for you outside. As they finish, my property. My property. My property. My property. Jayola. Jayola, come. That story about that thing you see for near Okada. Okada, where they travel. Tell them, make them know what thing happened.
Praise the Lord. It was concerning about Wivon. Some years ago, we were traveling down to Enugu. I think Godwin was there too, and Joseph. So getting to Benin Bypass, there was a lot of traffic on that road. And when we came down from the bus to find out what was happening or what caused the traffic, and we saw an old woman dragging a young lady's hair, that the lady should give her a property. I don't understand me. And that is where we believe, surely, some of this hair that they wear belongs somewhere. And it affects people. Because the woman come from nowhere. They didn't know how the woman appeared to that place until they removed that hair and gave to that woman on a afternoon.
Imagine that. You know what they wear? One day, the owner will come. Yes, now there's somebody that owns it. And for that old woman, that demon to come like that, confidently, before everybody, maybe that young girl was sitting in that bus and speaking in tongue. She was there speaking in tongue. Here, Mama, so the blood of Jesus covered this vehicle. There shall be no accident. And that demon wants to cause accident. And this girl sit down there. Here, Mama, so there will be no accident. Now he can't say, who they stop this vehicle like this? He can't see the girl. You know, where my property? You know, speak in tongue. Oh yeah, give me my property. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, as funny as it looks, that may be the only reason why somebody's deliverance has been lingering. It's not going from church to church. From mountain to mountain. From deliverance to deliverance. From dry fasting to white fasting to green fasting. From celeb bath for river to whatever you do. It may just be that the reason that spirit is coming is there is a link it has with you. Rachel took the idols of Laban. Jacob didn't even know. Hallelujah. That is the reason. It is because God knew that Jacob didn't know. That is why he warned Laban. And read that story in the whole Bible. There is no woman, no Jew that ever go to put to bed and die. It's only Rachel. Because remember, she swore with her menses. Because when Laban, they said Jacob was innocent. Search is sure. He didn't carry any of your property. He said, search. Rachel took the idol, put under, sat on it. Laban said, stand up now. He said, I didn't do my menses. And you know the Jews, how they take what, you know, the condition of the woman seriously. So they left her. You use your reproductive system to cover an idol, Abby. And that pregnancy cost her life. Search your life. You want family deliverance now. Hallelujah. Start by going to your father's compound. Anything that should not be there, remove it and burn it away. Sure, you came to stand in the gap for your family. Go to your father's compound. All those nonsense, don't wait for a pastor to go and do it. You are born again, you have the same authority. Because you are not going in the name of a man, you are going in the name of the God of Israel. You are going in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anything you don't understand in that house, put them down. Rain Holy Ghost fire on them. Put anointing oil on them and set it on fire. Do it. Anything you don't understand, anything the Holy Ghost is against, throw it away. Especially those things of fashion. Woman, sister, that has to do with your hair. Hold those funny, funny hair they brought from India. That you are putting so that your hair will be long like Indian woman. Nigerian woman wants to appear like Indian woman. Okay? You don't know that Hindu spirit, they follow that one. It's true now. Hallelujah. You don't know which spirit they follow. All those paint, all those funny, funny things people put on. You know, if you have the Holy Ghost, your spirit will know. You will. I'm talking to Christians, so I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking to, because he said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. My people. And the foundation of God standeth sure. The Lord knoweth them that are his. It is his own. Because he said that healing, deliverance is the children's meat. God is good. You're born again. All of you are going to heaven. All of you. All of you. All of you. We shall see in heaven. All of you. And then a fornicator is saying, amen. Ride on, pastor. Ride on. I love this man. I love this man. You're not the one I'm talking to. Church is not a place anyhow we come. In the first church age, it was written that sinners We are afraid to go to church. You know what I mean by sinners? Not unbelievers outside. Believers, if you commit anything, you'll be afraid to go to church that day. Because when you enter church, something must happen that you will know. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And it's very easy to know a genuine gift in a church. A genuine prophetic gift. Not to disgrace you, but it will pick out sin, call out sin. You saw yesterday, they called one sister. She began to shake. As she stand before the prophet, she shake. Why will she shake? And the prophet know why he shake. So he had to cool her and say, I will not go that side. That's how it should be. Praise God. A pastor just left my office now. And he came here and he was desiring that this prophetic gift should be in his church too. And he was praying. Amen. So he said, when the gift will start, that Sunday, he came here on Friday, which is Sunday, he was there. And he said, while they were just praying, anointing hit one young man. And he began to prophesy. He said, let me do so. The first thing was they gave the young man a microphone to see what he see. And he will be manifesting that gift for the first time in his life. And said, went to a worker in the church, one of the security in the church, and said, that man, the Lord, they say, you took that sister for your house for 2 days now your house is asleep. God is angry with you. You know that's God. You know that's God. Now, fear will come upon everybody. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell and say, that is true. That's a genuine gift from God. If we start to pick that coin, this church go empty, It go empty, but it must happen. Oh, certainly it must happen. Oh, because it is my prayer. If God answered that pastor prayer, he go answer my own too. Praise the Lord. No. Isaiah, the Spirit of the Lord say, come, let us reason together. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul said, shall we continue in sin that grace will abound? Let's reason together. No, it's true now. You keep a woman in your house, you have not paid her dowry. Let's reason. You are coming for prayer. Which God? Which deliverance? When the accuser of the brethren is looking at you and saying, God, no include this one. God, no include this one. Say, what happened? Are you they see? Angel, you know they see? Look where. Now 419 be. Now 419 be. And then somebody will go and 419 someone and bring the tithe to the church. Now what you are saying is, God, now you help me to dupe this man. Take your own. Now that's the meaning now. That's the meaning. Your boyfriend sleep with you finish. He give you money. Then you say, God, I thank you. Now you lead me, make I sleep with this man. See the money where he give me. Father, take your own. You are coming for deliverance. A prostitute. Prostitute. Whoremonger. Whoremonger. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Repent, oh! If not, see, this demon is a kingdom. Satan has a kingdom. It's a kingdom. Hallelujah. It's a kingdom. And Satan will not like anybody to ridicule him. You know you belong there. You are a sinner. And you are coming here to rain fire on your master. When you leave here and finish, he go look you. You know among those when they shout fire, fire for bride yesterday night. Me and you, who clean pass? Amen. Am I trying to condemn somebody? I'm not yapping you. I want you to repent. Decide in your heart that when you go, send that girl out of your house. I even use sister where they how the, you are harboring one man. You know some men. Now the sister, if they move, go stay with the sister for a house. Me and you, we are one. Now, shall I say, well, I go marry you. I just want to make things work out. Then we go marry. Meanwhile, come stay with me. Which church should they go? Bride. Two of you in the morning, you take off. In the night, now go wake up, they pray. What do they pray? Make you pray so that God will open door for you. So that you go meet my parents. Let us pray. Midnight prayer. Then when you finish, you go lie down for the bed. Two of you. So which God are you praying to? Amen. The same reason why Laban pursued Jacob is the same reason. Hallelujah. That is why after Jacob found out that Rachel was the cause of Laban coming after him, that he nearly lost his life, if not for God that went and saved him by ministering. In Genesis 35 now. Go to Genesis 35. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Genesis 35 verse 1, and God said unto Jacob, again now, this is the second time, arise, go up to Bethel, and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee, when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household, and to all that were with him, the first thing is what? Put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments. I repeat, put away the strange gods that are among you and be clean and change your garments and let us arise. And go up to Bethel. And I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me in the way which I went. And they gave, see what they did now. They gave unto Jacob all the strange gods which were in their hand and all their sister waiting. And all their earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them. And they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Hallelujah. First and foremost, the emphasis is strange gods. Strange, it means as an Israelite, a seed of Abraham, they have their identity. They have their identity that distinguishes them from other nations around. Amen. Hallelujah. Even nationalities. When you see an Indian person, Indian man or Indian woman, from her dress, you will know this is an Indian. Am I correct? Hallelujah. If you see an Indian man, you may not know from the dress, but from the accent, when he begins to speak English, you will know this one, an Indian man. It's just like in Nigeria. If you see a Calabar man, from his accent, you know this is a Calabar man. You understand what I mean? Even an Igbo man, when he speaks Igbo, you will know that this man, na Igbo man. Where you come from, there is an identity. Forget this inferiority complex. I have seen some pastors, Nigerian pastors, that have been trying to speak American accent. Hallelujah. International doesn't mean civilization. And what is civilization? Civilization is a relative terminology. It's a relative terminology. Civilization is the act of creation, creating something for the well-being of mankind. Is it not so? It's true now. Amen. There are some things we have invented in Nigeria that Americans don't know how to do it. Americans, for instance, they don't know a dick and call. It's a creation. It's an invention. And there are some things that we are better at in Africa than them. For instance, we are better in 419 technology than them. It's true now. Hallelujah. I'm saying this for the benefit of some pastors here. Who God will call you, genuine call of God upon you. You will take off and go to America. Once you come back, you will rearrange your church. Because what you went there, you saw. Say, Kai, come and see. We were there here, we just a suffer. We are making this into, you know, sisters, you can wear trousers. You know, it makes you look fine. He ported it from there so that he can be international. The meaning of international is not my ability to speak American grammar or big English. That's not the meaning of those of you who say that we are now going international, you want to polish my English. International is a global village where every nation, it's a global platform, I mean to say, platform where every nation showcases what they have. It's not for every nation copying another nation. India, bring your own. Nigeria, bring your own. America, bring your own. Europe, bring your own. That platform is called international. When it is time for Nigeria, they will hear Nigerian English. Praise the Lord. It's not for you to bend your tongue and be talking on tongue, and be speaking from your nose so that you say you're international. That's not it. It's an inferiority complex. It is that same complex that will make a man or woman to bleach his or her skin. It's a part of it. Because you want to look like Oyibo. And no matter how you do, you can never speak like them. Your skin can never be like their own. After some time, that skin will be born with the chemical that you took to do it. And it can never be restored. Your hair can never be like the Chinese hair. It's true. Amen. Hallelujah. It's inferiority complex. It's inferiority complex. Stop that. This church will never pattern after anywhere. If you both come here, they will cover their hair. If they wear trousers, they will not be allowed to enter this church. Praise the Lord. They will come and learn that from us. We should learn from one another. See, spiritually, we are more advanced in Africa than the European world. People don't even know it. Spiritually, we are more advanced. The level of witches in Africa, they will catch the witches for here. The level of witchcraft in Africa, European witchcraft fit match them. Spiritually, we are deeper than them, or higher rather. We are higher than them. Understanding of scripture too, we are higher than them. The reason is simple. We are suffering. They are not suffering. We need God. They have no need. Some of them, everything they need, they have. Including social security, where if you lose your job, government will give you a house and be giving you monthly allowance. So what are you going to church for? But you're over here. If you don't pray, you don't go close to God, you are finished. So that has made us to study God well. To know how to receive from Him. To know how to walk with Him. And they don't bother that. You see, so we are more spiritual than them. Condition made it so, but we are more. Praise the Lord. Show me any Oyibo church that will do vigil. 3 nights, no sleep. It's not possible. Papa has not come back. The pastor from Ukraine. He told me, he said, he had a whole vigil too once in a month in his church. I said, from what time? He said, they start from 11 o'clock till 2 a.m. I said, what do you call him? I said, VG. I said, VG. Amen. VG. He said, yes. And he's surprised when he came here to see that all night we are here. He said that over there, you don't keep people for too long in the church. That's where Nigerians went to learn. First service, second service, third service, three services between 7 and 12 o'clock. They went to learn it from there. I said, why? He said, you know, they're very busy people. If you keep people too long, once it's 2 hours, you see them looking at their watch. If you continue, they will take off. Next time, they will not come. Hallelujah. Hey, thank God I am an African Christian. Amen. How can you go to church? God's presence. And be bored. Be bored. It's because you are not connected to something there. The best place to be is in the presence of God. I'm telling you. Holy Ghost filled Christians. When you come to a Holy Ghost filled arena, there's something that goes beyond this flesh. Time just flies. You won't even know time has gone. That's the truth. You go to church, you feel tired. There's something wrong with your Christian experience. Or that church, they're just there entertaining people and wasting people's time. Because there was one church, somebody was telling me yesterday, that they went and through other Sunday service, they were teaching the church how to use Twitter. Computer, how to use laptop, Twitter. And she go visit them now. So he said, is that what people are doing here? The whole of Sunday, they were teaching us, so press this. So if you want to access this, then press. Some people were there with their palm top and the rest, computers. They came to lecture them on Sunday how to use Twitter for computer. So when you close, where are you coming from? I'm just coming from service. Coming from service. Amen. May somebody receive the Holy Ghost here tonight in the name of Jesus. I say, may somebody receive the Holy Ghost here tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. So as a Jew, let me round up and we pray. As a Jew, there are certain things that are strange. As Christians, there are certain things that are strange to Christianity. But when the world got married to the church, then it became mixed up. Until people don't know how a Christian should dress as a Christian. Anywhere you go, there must be something around you that will make you stand out. Different from unbelievers around. We're Christians, church. Notice, they put away the strange gods, whatever it is. They change their garments. The way you appear also matters. Especially when you're going to the presence of God. You can't dress anyhow and go to church. There is dress for everywhere. There is dress to go to work. There is dress to stay at home. And there is dress to go before God's presence. There's a dress you put on when you have appointment with the governor. There's a dress you put on when you're going for interview, you're looking for a job. You can't dress anyhow going to church. You can't dress anyhow. You're going before a holy God. A woman, you must dress and cover up. A man too, you must dress and dress like a man. Like a gentleman. There are people that sit down in some churches and watch on television. You see a man sitting there with earring. I've seen some so-called gospel musicians playing music with earring. Men. When you're coming to church, you select the cloth you wear. And let me tell you something. Especially women. Every dress a woman puts on is a design. Am I correct? Talk now. Eh? No. Not all. Eh? For instance, which one? Amen. When you go to tailor, you go just give a cloth, say, I beg, sew cloth for me, and go, Abby. The tailor will ask you, how do you want it? It's true now. The dress you are putting on, see, you took off today, you are going to church, isn't it? On Sunday, you leave your house, you are going to church, you prepare from Friday for Sunday service. You will choose the dress you will wear. You don't just take any dress and wear. Then somebody is going to church, takes, looks at her wardrobe, and then the kind of dress is going to pick. She picks the one, she stands before the mirror, and then takes the one that when she wears, all part of her breast will come out. No, no, it's true. Then he says, yeah, this one fine. You go look for a mirror. She will look for a mirror. Then she will look at the skirt. She will take the one that will go under the knees. The one that is here. Then she will stand. For mirror. She will look at the mirror. Yes. Where are you going? I'm preparing for service. The one went here for back. That's the plan she will wear. Where are you going? Then carry Bible and you are going to church. It is a strange garment in Christianity. Christians don't put on such things. Why will you want to wear a cloth that if you raise up your hand, they will see your armpit and see your brassiere and breasts? Why will a Christian woman wear a sleeveless dress? It's for a purpose. It's a design. It's a design. What of the blouse that you will wear and make sure that it's just half here? You know you're going to church. And we're going to worship the Lord. And then you wear that type of dress here. Oh, let's lift up our hands and worship the Lord. To show your stomach. It's an unclean spirit that is on you. You don't even know it. It's strange. And among the things they hid under the oak tree was also earrings. Why will they include earrings among the things they put away to go before God's presence? Because Jacob, they know what earrings symbolize. In Judges chapter 8, they were Ishmaelites. an Ishmaelite is the child of a bond woman. Ishmael. Because it is a symbol of bondage. You drop it. Drop that earring. And don't you ever let the devil deceive you. That if you drop a ring, you wear certain dress that you will look ugly. You will never look ugly. Never look ugly. Anywhere you go, a young girl that's moving without a ring, without those funny, funny, stupid paintings on the face, you are a subject of attraction. Because everybody knows that the average young girl will paint herself. For you to drop all those things, that is why you see men will be chasing you up and down. The men, they know those Asmodees. They know who can be a wife material. That's why when they see like that, you say, Nasoso unbeliever, they pursue me, Nasoso unbeliever. It's because you are attractive. He knows you are different from those paint prostitutes. He knows. So don't let anybody deceive you. And when I say don't wear a ring, don't do this one, that doesn't mean you should not take care of yourself. Because holiness is not haggardness. It's true now. I don't expect a young girl to be dressing like a grandmother. You don't get a husband, no? That's not what I mean. Praise the Lord. Dress attractively. Show your beauty, but not like the world. Hallelujah. If you have crocro in your face, go and treat it. If it doesn't go, come for prayers. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But I'm saying here, look, when we say don't put those things on your hair, Christian sisters, I'm not talking that when the Bible says cover your hair, I know of some sisters from some churches that cover hair 24 hours. They tie it 24 hours. The Bible says when praying or prophesying, it's when you are sitting in the church like this only. Once you close, release that hair. That hair is given to you naturally for a covering. And it is your glory. It is part of your beauty. Keep it, maintain it very well. Wash it. If you don't treat your hair very well, you'll be guilty too. Because the hair will pluck off and fall off. Before you know what, you look like an old woman. And if you cover that hair 24 hours, the hair needs air. If air doesn't come to that hair, it will start to smell because it will be getting rotten. Eh? So, it's only in the church, or when you close, release the hair. Amen. Wash the hair. You know, set the hair, make it fine. But don't make it like the world. Don't go and pour those chemicals. You look like a rat coming out of the sewage system. Not that type. When you come and you see the way they look. Don't do that one. Don't do it. Praise the Lord. And learn to rub powder. Eh? Put powder. I think there's something pancake. You get small something like this. It's in the bag of every sister. Eh? What do you call it? Pedicure. Now pancake, then they call them. So that you rub the powder very well so that you look fine. Look fine. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Wash your teeth very well. So that when you smile, they see a bright teeth. Clean up yourself. Hallelujah. Clean up. Look fine. Blessed be the name of the Lord. If you're a short woman, don't wear high heel. Don't do that. There's one short sister that was having waist pain. Serious waist pain. So she went to our clinic here. The doctor examined her and said, the reason you have waist pain is because of the high heel. He said, it's the high heel. So I didn't know that high heel can cause waist pain. Amen. There is one particular shoe I saw somewhere, a lady's shoe. It goes up like that. So I was wondering, how will this person stand on this shoe? You know, I just couldn't imagine it. In the name of fashion. There's a reason why God made you short. It's not by accident. It's not a challenge that you are short. It's not. God is a God of variety. Hallelujah. There is not, God didn't make only one color. The rainbow colors are many. God is a God of variety. That's why He made some human beings white, some black, some chocolate, some even red, some very white. He has a reason. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He made some fat. Some fatness, not the food they ate. It's genetic. They don't even eat as much as those leper. But see them, they blow fat. No matter what they do, they will remain like that. Then there are some leper. Very, very skinny. No matter what they do to increase, they can't. It's God that made them like that. Praise the Lord. And Apostle Paul said, who art thou, O man, to question your God? Why? How can you question Him? Why did you make me like this? No, He created us for His pleasure. So He made some tall, He made some short. And don't think that it's by mistake. God too, from the area of marriage, He gave us different tastes. He gave the men. There are some men that like short people only. Yes. He is tall, but He wants only short people. There are some leper men that like fat. 14. Hallelujah. Forget those fashion shows where they always put slim people to make it look as if to be slim is to be beautiful. To be beautiful is to be slim. It's a lie. I think fat people too have joined now. There's a competition for fat people. Yes, now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Be natural. Glorify God in the estate He has made you. You can't change it. Don't try to change it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't try. And don't you ever look down on yourself. Be proud of who you are. And maintain what God has made of you. There is a man that likes you the way you are. Hallelujah. There's a man that likes you the way you are. And some of you have delayed your marriage because you put on a different identity. It's true. So the man is looking for a short woman. You went and then increased your height. So the man passed you. So you are still praying. And God said, I have given you a husband. When I passed several times, when he see you, he said, no, the one I'm looking for is shorter than this. Go and remove those high heels and keep your height. You see how one guy going to pursue you now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And there are some short men that love tall women. And there are tall women that prefer short men. Yes. That is how odd this world is. It's God Himself that gives us the taste. So stop looking down on yourself for any reason. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Put away those strange things. So that this deliverance can be permanent. We've been saying it in a lighter mood, but there are serious issues we are talking about. That's the reason why so many of us, you go from deliverance to deliverance, your condition still remains the same. That's the truth. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. There are some brothers that have been, they come to me and say, no girl, they grieve for them. I remember that. Let me not forget it. Pastor, pray for me. See, it's not everything that is prayer. It's not everything that is prayer. Hallelujah. You are looking for a woman to marry. Don't you know that? That she has friends. And that she's going to show her friend the guy that is coming for her. Eh? Then you take off. Wear one bathroom slippers. Dust full on your leg. Sweat full your body everywhere. Your armpit, they smell. It's true now. It's true. Then you are going to meet a sister. Sister? How now? She will turn and look at you. How now? The next he says, the Holy Ghost fire. Dress well. Dress well. And there are some men that go out with women and you will not take care of them. There are... No, it's true. It's true. You won't take care of the women. So what's the evidence that if you marry and finish, you go take care of her? Eh? No, it's true. Praise the Lord. I told you the other day, one sister that came and told me. He said, see one brother. When did someone say he's not interested on her? He said, call her, say him buy something for her. Make you wait for her. She can't wait. When she called, the man bought puff puff for him. Puff, puff. You are not serious. Puff, puff. Hallelujah. One sister was complaining to me that the brother that says he's interested in him, every time I flash, he go flash her. Then she go call him. Every time he will flash, then she will call him. Then you say, Pastor, pray for me. I don't know what is wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. Dress well. So that, you know, you approach her. While you are not watching, she will go and tell her friend. Say, come see. Nahim be that. That guy there, Nahim be that. I be proud. Be proud. Be proud. Dress well. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Don't say no cause, they worry me. No, because it's not everything that is cause. Change your attitude. Change your attitude. And some of you don't even know how to approach a young girl for the first time. You don't even know how to approach a young girl for the first time. Eh? You feel that it's time to marry and you think that you are doing her a favor by approaching her. Eh? A woman is naturally made to be proud. I'm talking to brothers. Hallelujah. Now that's the truth. A woman is naturally, by her nature, amen, she's meant to be proud. She's not easy to get. And yes. Hallelujah. When you approach her, the first thing she will say is no, even though inside of her she wants it. The first thing is no, first, no. But inside her heart, they say, hey, Father, may the man come back. Oh. That's it. That is woman for you. Then you see one crude brother who stand. Hey, You there. Come. And the girl is looking at her. Who? Me. Yes, you. Come. Well, let me go and see. He said, what if you have that your name, sir? If you jump correct, Lagos girl, when he release some words for you, you will know. Then you will say, of course, they worry you. When you don't know how to approach a girl. Eh? If you don't know how to approach a girl, praise God. Come and meet me. I will teach you. This water, hypertension, diabetes, ulcer, cancer, HIV, AIDS, cough, chest problem is over in the name of Jesus. I declare this water a hormonal drug in the name of Jesus. I declare this water the medicine of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ.